The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen, remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah, of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
I want to drive my RV out. I want to drive my RV out and go to a trailer park, like down by the water or by Disneyland. There'll be two that I've researched that are close to the facility, and I want to Jim Rockford it for the next couple months until we move to the new facility.
Word on the street is you've gotten the RV set up.
Yeah,
how's that?
It's been great. You know, I mean, being myself. You know, like I always wanted to do that. It worked out great. I'm 100 feet from Greg Roman.
He has an RV as well.
He's got a better RV. Chiro's got a really, really good RV.
So he's got it better than you, is what you're
in the RV world. Well, I'm not as fancy. You know, my Thor motor coach, you know, that hits me just right.
What a surprise. For the second time in the past 2 weeks, there's been a tidbit about an NFL coach that if you had told me what it was and asked me to guess which coach it was, I would have said yet again, Jim Harbaugh. Previously, it was garage sale. Now, living in an RV, a van down by the river, if you will, Jim Harbaugh. I didn't realize he said that back on February 1 when he introduced his head coach of, there it is, well done, right on cue. Right, Matt Foley, living in a van down by the river is Jim Harbaugh. Although we don't, is there a river? Is there a river close to where the Chargers facility is?
He talked about water. I don't know. Maybe he's at an oceanfront view. I don't know. He's hilarious. He really is. Do you know anybody that lives in an RV or has had sustained, amount of time in the RV living there or doing that? Do you know anybody in your life?
No.
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 Yeah.
And there's a difference. There's a difference. He mentioned the Ford Motor Coach. There is a difference between an RV and a motor coach. Some people are very persnickety about that. An RV is a level down from a motor coach, which is basically a converted bus, I believe. So it sounds like he's got something pretty swanky that he's been living on down by the river. It ain't no van.
So wait, you're saying the RV's better than the motor coach, or the motor coach is better than the RV?
I think the motor coach is better than the RV.
Right.
I'm not up on that world, but I think the motor coach is the John Madden style tour bus. Like
that kind
we'll
of thing.
See from
right.
time to
right.
time.
The new right. age the, RV, like, I think, right. I mean, okay.
Right,
okay.
Right. It's not
a box connected to the back of a car or whatever it is, however
exactly.
it looks, or the back of a pickup truck. I got you. I help you out
or,
there. Yeah.
Well, but there's also the RV that is self-contained,
yes.
but it's not a bus.
Right.
You know what a bus looks like. Then there's the RV. And, like, near where I live, every once in a while, you'll see an RV parked in somebody's house for in front of it for an extended stretch. And, you know, you see all different sorts of campers and stuff. But the motor coach, I think, is the high end, can't hide money thing that they use in that world where you just get in it and drive and off you go. And everybody's got a Walmart now. One of the Walmart policies is if you've got an RV or a motor coach or a camper, you can just park in their parking lot because they assume you're going to come in and buy stuff. But they just let you squat there at the back of the parking lot.
I didn't know that.
Spend the night. And well, because they know that inevitably you're going to wander in there and drop 20, 30, 40 bucks.
Right, right. I hear that. It's actually something on my bucket list, like, you know, not to live in a van down by the river or anything like that. But it is on a bucket list where I've thought about, like, hey, when we have our break in the summer, maybe a cool thing to do with the kids and the family would be, like, in an RV and, like, travel out west for a week and kind of do that. But it always seems like a little bit more work than I envision it or think it's going to be. And then that part, too, where, you know, parking at the RV parks, all of that, I don't know. All of that seems a little weird, too. I don't know if I trust it. Right. So there's a lot of things there where it's like, I want to do it, but I don't know if that day will ever come to where I actually go ahead and do it.
I've literally seen that movie before with Chevy Chase and crew.
Right.
You are Clark Griswold, the original National Lampoon's Vacation.
So they say.
Chris Sims and family.
Right.
My God, that would be something. That would be something. I would want to have real time video updates of the Chris Sims family adventure in a motor coach or an RV, although you'd be able to rent a motor coach for the week.
Yeah, I want the bougie one, definitely.
Back in 2011, long time ago, can barely remember the year, it was for the Super Bowl in Dallas between the Packers and the Steelers. I was with NBC. I was not yet flying, so we used what I guess would be a motor coach because it was like a converted bus and drove down. I didn't drive it. And I swear at one point they had two drivers that would switch off. I think they did a hot change while the thing was
still
170
moving?
Miles an hour.
Jeez.
Yeah, I think they did. Because I was kind of half awake and one of the guys walked up and I was like, kind of awake, kind of asleep. And then the other guy walked back and was like, I know we haven't stopped. So
Right. Maybe
that's part of the craft. You've figured out how one guy gets out, one guy gets in, so the other guy can go sleep. But it was nice, and it had a bunch of bunk beds in it. That was the thing. The drivers, like, one of them was always sleeping. So if you go back to the bedroom at the very back of the thing, there's like a leg hanging out of the bunk. So it was quite an adventure, to say the least, going back and forth to Dallas. That was the week the whole city was blanketed in ice, and they don't do anything about it. They just wait for it to melt, and it took like five days
to
melt.
That's right.
That was a disaster.
That was crazy. Do you think is he at an RV park? I mean, I feel like now that he said that and it's out there, it's like fans are going to look for him at these RV parks. Like, the word is out there.
But he said when he gets back from the league meetings, they're moving into their rental house.
Oh, it's then.
So
okay.
The RV days are over.
I didn't
over.
Hear that part. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Gotcha. Right. All right.
His
all right.
6 weeks of seclusion are over. Now he's got to reintegrate with his family. And that's probably something his family isn't thrilled about. Although, I'm kidding. I just say that because my family would enjoy having 6 weeks away from me. And there's a point where you get so used to it. It's like, you know, life is pretty good without having to hear that guy all the time.
Yeah.
My family would think that about me. And I don't have all those pull string sayings like Jim Harbaugh does, because some of that stuff, there's got to be mornings where some of the kids are like, I wish Dad would just give the attack the day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind thing a break for one day. I wish he would just choose not to attack this day with that saying. Wait till tomorrow. We know, Dad. We'll stipulate that you want to attack the day with an enthusiasm unknown to mankind, and we'll also agree that nobody has indeed got it better than us. All right, we've got 2 hours this morning on PFT Live, as we always do. Peacock, Sirius XM 85, Sky Sports Action, and wherever you get your podcasts. He's Chris Sims. I'm Mike Florio. I've been trying to be a little more responsible about identifying the damn show instead of just jumping right into it and riding the wave for 2 hours. Although, it's not like we are a channel, a location, a destination that you just accidentally trip over.
Right.
I guess on Sirius XM 85.
That could happen
even
there.
Even then. Even then, it tells you what the show is
right.
on the screen.
Right.
It tells you.
Right.
Two morons.
Yes. Two morons.
A moron sitting, and moron.
Sitting on a chair.
Turd Ferguson and Dick Hammer signing on for the next 2 hours. Okay, so here we go. And I'm surprised, but not surprised. We heard from John Mara, Giants co-owner, yesterday, his brief conversation with Mike Garofalo of NFL Media, that they wanted to twist some arms at the lawn party on Monday night. They wanted to do another vote, which implied that they had done an informal vote on Monday and they didn't have 24. They got 24. They got 29. 29-3 was the final vote. There will be a new kickoff. 49ers, Raiders, and Packers all said no. And I'm surprised that stuck, because what they usually do in situations like that, because they want to create the outward impression of everybody's on the same page, they do the 29-3 vote, and then they do a 32-0 vote.
Right, right.
Just so they can say, we unanimously, please, we'd like to tell the world, we unanimously approve this. They didn't. Three teams said no. And that's important, Chris, because it's just a one-year thing. So if three becomes nine next year, if there's six teams that didn't like it, assuming that the Raiders, 49ers, and Packers don't fall in love with it over the course of the next year, all it takes is six now to say, didn't really like that. Didn't really like how that was. We don't want to do it next year. So it could just be a one-year thing, this revolutionary change of the kickoff.
Yeah, it is. It's revolutionary. You know, you don't see the NFL make drastic changes like this to any certain play to this capacity like we're seeing right now. You kind of alluded to that last week. It's big time. It really is. And I think it's necessary, like we've talked about. You know, it's a waste of time watching the whole function of the kickoff and all of that. Right, we talked yesterday, and we heard the comment, I think, from John Mara, 13 kickoffs in the Super Bowl. We just sat there and watched it. The DJ played music. That was cool for a second, and we got all ready for nothing, right? So, good. And again, it's a part of the DNA of football. I'm happy about that. I'm shocked that there's three teams that are voting against it, really. I want to know why they're voting against it, really, because the only thing I could think of that would be the negative part, and I've heard this from some of the special teams coaches. I heard it at the combine from a few guys, too, where they're bitter about the whole process a little bit. They're just a little bit like, well, why are we changing this? This is football, all of that type of stuff, right? But I mean, again, I think where we're headed as a league, all of that, I think it's the best possible solution we got right now to keep the play in the game, keep it exciting, and be interested and intrigued by it.
Well, remember last year when they made the latest change that made the kick return a dead play?
Yeah.
That was the fair catch opportunity between the goal line and the 25 that gives the receiving team the ball at the 25. We heard a lot of anger about that, and they were going to experiment with all these different ways to force the return because they're taking the return out of the game. We're going to do mortar kicks and squib kicks and this kick and that kick, and we ultimately didn't see any of that. So they're going to huff and puff and then let their house be blown down by this change in the rules. I had heard just this scattered idea that there were special teams coordinators that didn't like it. And maybe it was some political thing. I didn't get invited to the committee meeting. Who knows? You know, people get motivated by the dumbest stuff at times. Like, I'm not part of crafting this, so I don't like it.
Yeah,
why
don't
you like it? Because
right.
They didn't ask me.
Right.
They didn't ask me to come to the meeting and give my 2 cents. And I've been doing this longer than anybody, so I don't like it. I choose not to like it.
I can see that. Right.
It will result in more returns. That's a given. But you can't reconcile that with player safety. Again, if you don't want extra concussions, they're talking about, oh, we got 1,900 new plays now because instead of 1,900 touchbacks, there'll be 1,900 returns. That's fine, but there will be collisions within those returns. There will be more injuries in this play now. But this just tells me that the impetus away from the kickoff was all about the catastrophic neck injury that can happen when you have two guys running at each other top speed, dipping their head, colliding that way, and potentially having a broken neck and an injured spinal cord that could end up with permanent paralysis or death. That's what they want to avoid.
Yeah,
100%. They don't want to have somebody dying on the field,
right.
And that's an admirable thing, both for the person who would otherwise be alive and for a sport that could end up flatlining over it as well. That's what they don't want. They don't want to have mom and dad coast to coast saying, you're not playing football. You're not playing football.
Right.
You're not playing football. And it's funny. Right. You know, that deposition that Roger Goodell gave July of 2022, and I've got the whole thing. I've read the whole thing. It is not scintillating, page-turning material. But if you stick with it, you'll come across 7, 8, 9 times where it's like, not a good witness, in my opinion. He was pressed on this idea back in the 2011-12 timeframe that they were concerned about the supply of NFL players drying up because parents won't let their kids play football. And his answer was along the lines of, well, less than 1% of the kids who play make it to the NFL anyway, so we're not concerned about us, which is flawed because some of that less than 1% isn't going to play football. You're going to have kids who otherwise would have been great at football never allowed to set foot on the field. So they're going to become basketball players or soccer players or some other sport where they're going to flourish and develop high-level skills that otherwise would have been transferred to the NFL. So they do need to be concerned about it.
Of course they
do. They have
right.
a catastrophic collision
yeah.
that gives someone a broken neck and permanent paralysis or death. I guarantee you, the coverage of that, think about what happened with Damar Hamlin and multiply it by 100.
Yeah, that.
That's what right. would happen.
That's right.
That's what they've been trying to avoid.
That's
and they
right.
won't talk about it.
Yeah.
They won't talk about it because it's kind of like, I think, number one, you don't want to speak it into existence. And number two, you know, you don't talk about your greatest fears. I mean, I do sometimes, but they don't want to talk about their greatest fear. And that's their greatest fear. An event that would cause parents throughout the country to tell their kids collectively, you are done playing football.
Definitely. I mean, parents are scared anyways. And I feel like they're kind of just getting back into, okay, all right. I mean, we know it's physical and brutal, but I feel like the NFL has turned the corner. That doesn't mean you give up on, you know, fixing the game and continuing to, you know, make it better, make it safer, evolve as a league and everything there. Right, I'm with you, and again, I think you're right. The Damar Hamlin thing, the Tua injury with the head hitting the turf 2 years ago on a Thursday night football game, right? Those were things that shook parents everywhere. You know, I have a week or two every year where game gets brutal and it's like that, and I got parents that text me like, "Wow, ooh, should that be allowed?" Blah blah blah. People are looking for that. This is one of the easiest ways to fix the game without totally changing the game, right? I mean, I know it's going to be hard to stop middle linebackers and running backs lowering their head down the in the middle of the pile there between the tackles. That's a hard one to change, right? And I know that's what, like, people are like, oh, they're worried about player safety, and they let this guy do that and this guy do that. I hear that from NFL friends. I hear that. But I go, well, yeah, but this is the easiest fix, and it's glaringly easy for anybody to see. Wait, one guy's running 50 yards, another guy's running 50 yards, and they hit each other. Wait, how about a little common sense and we eliminate that part of the game, right? And I think that's where it's the best thing for the NFL and everybody involved. There's definitely an old school, like, coaches in the NFL with the get off my lawn and we have all these other dangerous plays, right? Why are we even changing the kickoff, right? And I'm like, and I had this conversation with somebody at the Combine, a special teams coach. And I said, I mean, I'm with you. I'm old school too. I want it. But let's live in reality here. That's over. Like, so do you want a job? Do you want to coach a kick return play anymore? Because we're past the point of we're going to go back because this is allowed and that's allowed. Right, so let's move on. And what are we going to do? And, you know, the coach kind of looked at me and giggled, and he was like, ah. He was like, yeah, well, I still want the play then. You're right. and went on. But, yeah, there's been some pushback there. But this is best for the sport for all the reasons you talked about. Parents, kids, whatever, the safety of our NFL players right now. And I'm excited to see what it has to offer to the league. I really am.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters. Both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
I had the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.
There was a handful, small handful of special teams coordinators, I was told last week, that just wanted to get rid of the play altogether, put the ball to 25 and be done with it.
There's some bitterness there from ones. That's what I'm talking about. It's those. There's a few that I know for sure that are bitter about the whole thing a little bit. Yes.
And one of the concerns, and I think this was aimed at changing their minds, because the way it was explained to me, if they get their way and if the kickoff goes away completely – and they just put the ball at the 25, and you'd have to have some alternative for the onside kick, the 4th-and-20 play or something along those lines, then they'll come for the punt next. And this is part of that cabal of non-football people in the league office. They knew who they are, and we know who they are, who tinker with the rules, and they allow their agenda, whether it's PR or health and safety or legal, to come together and affect the game.
Yeah.
And the thinking is, if they successfully get the kickoff return out of the game altogether, the next thing they're going to do is focus on the punt return. And there's been noise in the past 3 or 4 years about the punt return also being dangerous because you get higher speed collisions, not the same as kickoff, because the gunner is running down the field and he's impeded by one or two guys. But the skilled gunners know how to get around and get ahead of steam, and they're going straight at the punt returner, and the punt returner's coming their way. It's not the same,
but
they still see that as the next. Yeah, the most dangerous play is the old kickoff return. The next most dangerous play is the punt return. So kick return goes. The way they tried to, I think, scare the special teams coordinators into accepting this is they're going to come take the punt return next, and your job is just going to be extra points and field goals at that point. I don't know what you would do to the punt. I don't know. What do? You just move the ball 30 yards from the line of scrimmage? Like, what do you do to not have a punt return? Unless you completely revolutionize that as well, which I guess could be the same thing.
Right.
Set up the same deal with the – and we haven't gone over it, but we will – this arrangement where the kick happens well beyond the action.
Yeah.
And everybody is packed together in a tight box where you can't get high-speed – collisions. Let's go ahead and do that while we're there. You've got the kicker at the 35. This is the base package of the new kickoff.
Yep.
Kicker's at the kicking team's 35. His 10 teammates are on the receiving team's 40, and 9 of the receiving team players are between the 35 and the 30. It's all clustered together. If we've got the graphic of the hybrid kickoff, I think that really will help people understand what this is going to look like. And then behind that action, you've got one or two returners in the landing zone. There it is on the left. Look at the right side of that. The two returners are aligned there between the 20 and the goal line. That is the landing zone. All the X's are the kicking team members. There are the red dots that are the receiving team blockers. But it's all packed together in the receiving team's end of the field, Chris, with the primary goal of eliminating high-speed collisions and potentially serious neck injuries that would result.
Yeah, no, I think it's the best possible scenario we could figure out to still keep the play. I like it. The 5 yards really there. It's not enough room to create a huge collision to hurt anybody, right? That aspect of it I like, I do. The again, we've talked about the creativity on both sides. You know, when the ball's kicked, what do you do? What do the red dots do? How they can conform or move to block to stop the blue X's, right? Or what are the blue X's going to do? And, you know, what pattern or approach are they going to take according to how the ball's kicked and where are they going to go to corral the tackler? That's what I'm interested to see. The creativity there. The creativity with two returners back, right? Now, the one thing I will say that... here's my first unintended consequence that I worry about, right? And you just talked about the punt. Is a little similar to that, right? You got 10 guys here. You got 9 guys here. And if one guy misses and it's a high kick and the guy's going to return it and he's looking up, I do think you could start to see some punt return style car crashes as the guy's about to... Oh, you can't do that.
No.
You can't. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
This is the electric football component. Well, I've got video of the XFL
went down
kick.
A road.
Nobody
right.
moves.
Nobody moves.
Nobody moves.
I went down the road too far. My bad. That's right. So they
There's
have to wait till he
watch.
Catches it. So
it's
you're
like,
good.
It's right. electric football.
Yeah.
And the kid's getting ready to hit the button, and he hits the button as soon as the ball is caught. So you're not going to have that. Height on kicks doesn't matter. Hang time doesn't matter. All that matters is placement. Where does the ball get caught? And then once the ball's caught, off they go. The kid's holding the button. Boom, I'm turning it on as soon as he catches it. And look,
I'm an
there
idiot.
It goes.
I knew that. I knew
and
that.
He's like, loose.
I literally thought about an unintended consequence as I was looking at the graph and then talked myself into, ooh, that could happen, like an idiot. But
that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that. It's a creative mind that gets a little off the rails at times.
It gets a little
I can
off
relate.
The rails. Definitely. But that's what I'm excited for, right? Right there. What you see there at the end. You know, again, with a guy who just finds a crease and explodes up the field, that's where I think we all love to see great athletes in space and what they can do in those moments. And I think that this new play can provide us all with that.
I wish they hadn't tweaked the rule to move the touchback from the 35 to the 30. Because once these teams start deploying badass returners, and once they decide the chances of having a Jason Sehorn moment, if anybody remembers that, the great cornerback of the Giants. They decided to make him a kick returner. And I think in the Jets-Giants game.
It was.
In the preseason,
I was there. Yeah.
Got hit, torn ACL
right.
on a kick return, and that was that for Jason Sehorn. I think he played again after that, but he was never the same again after
right.
that moment.
Right.
You're going to have a less of a risk, so you're going to put Tyreek Hill back there, potentially. Maybe you're going to do it in a big game. You know, when Randy Moss was playing, from time to time, you'd see him back to return a punt. I remember he returned one against the Chiefs for a touchdown on a Sunday night or a Monday night game at one point. You're going to be less concerned about getting your guy injured in that situation, because it's more broken field than open field.
Yeah.
And everyone's packed together, and the chances of taking that big hit that's going to injure you
from out of nowhere that you don't
tear
see.
An ACL.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right.
You can tear an ACL in a confined space. You can have that Tyreek Hill injury when somebody does the combination horse collar hip drop on you. But there's going to be, I think, less concern. And the upside is tremendous, because if you have that guy who can, we saw that. If there's one crease, and if he's got the vision to see it and hit it, I'd put a great running back there. If I've got a running back that runs a 4-4, and he knows how to instinctively find the opening and hit it, because that's all it's going to take when they're all packed together like that. It's going to be more like the line of scrimmage. Where's my opening? There it is. I'm through it, and I'm gone. And my concern is, when you have a guy that you know is going to do that, they're just going to take the touchback and give the ball at the 30. If it's the 35, that's too much to concede. The 30 might be the point where somebody says, I don't want to watch Tyreek Hill run for 50 yards again through the formation and hope the kicker tracks him down. We're just going to kick the ball into the end zone.
Yeah, no, you could, and you're right. Maybe that's something that they will have to rethink or tinker with, you know, as they go along, or maybe they make an amendment there, you know, as they figure this out to figure that's the best way to do it. But, you know, you said it. I don't think there's great danger for the star players to be back there, right? The Jason Sehorn play is a guy, he's running up the middle. It's a guy kind of out of nowhere from the side, hits him, and he didn't see him, and he gets hit in the side of the leg. You know, the ones we've seen, the ones I've seen in the XFL, whatever, a kick returner gets it, you know, he's kind of moving forward as he catches it. It's there's nobody coming out of nowhere to kind of hit him. He's going to be able to evaluate that, protect himself as best he can. So we'll see where that goes. But I'm happy for it. And you know, again, it's the third phase of football. We talk about it all the time, right? We might even not dive into we always dive into offense, defense, and matchups. But gosh, a lot of the good football teams, I mean, they win football games because of the third phase, right? And we were losing a big chunk of the third phase because this play was not really a real thing, and I'm glad to see it back. I mean, special teams are exciting, whether it's Devin Hester returning a kick to start the Super Bowl or whether, you know, it's Chubbs Tony returning an amazing punt in the Super Bowl 2 years ago. It's Desmond Howard. There's been so many big plays that way, right? Jacoby Jones, Ravens, returning a kick, kind of saying, okay, see you, 49ers, you're in deep crap now against the Ravens 49ers Super Bowl. So that's where I'm glad to see it. I don't want to see this aspect of the game go. And this year, with it being new, Mike, I could see this being a year where some team steals two or three games because of how they return kicks or do something and the newness of it. And they created a creative angle or new scheme that, ooh, the league wasn't real. I didn't think about doing it that way. You know, you might get a team this year that you go, man, they're a 7-10 team, but damn, because of the new kick return and what they did in creative there, they actually went 9-8 or 10-7 because they won two or three games with special teams. That's possible. I could certainly see that happening this year.
What a year to not have Bill Belichick as a head coach.
Oh, right? Oh. Seriously, right? I know. It's on you, John Harbaugh. You are the one. Take over, yeah. John Harbaugh.
Or Andy Reid. Andy Reid was very much in support of it and wanted to get it done this week. And maybe because he knows I've been around this game long enough, I know how to work.
But he's got Dave Taub too. Exactly right.
And we're going to figure this out, and we're going to come up with some ways to get the most out of this. But you're talking about, even if it's not a long return, if it takes the average field position from the 25 to the 32,
exactly.
Routine, that's a huge,
difference, right?
You talk about playing out every drive, every time someone kicks to you. We're on average at the 32 instead of the 25, because now it's just the 25. It's the 25, the 25, the 25. If you start moving it beyond that to start the drive, you're going to have more points. And that's the other thing they want. That was a concern that Rich McKay, the chair of the competition committee, articulated last week. They're concerned about the decline in points from 49 during COVID down to 43.5 this year. They want more points. And this is a path to more points.
More short fields.
Because it's going to be... shorter fields and easier to get in field goal range. Think of what it's going to do in overtime.
Yeah.
How's it going to affect your strategy now in overtime, especially postseason overtime? Because that first drive isn't starting on the 25. It's quite possibly starting on the 35 or the 40 or one cut, and you're starting, you know, on the other team's 45 or 40, or maybe you score a touchdown. So, yeah, it is going to rejuvenate a lost aspect of the game. You mentioned Jacoby Jones. I thought you were going to go with Jacoby Jones getting tripped up by Mike Tomlin. Like, that's gone from the game, too.
Seriously.
We need that back in the game.
Let me act like I'm looking at the big screen over here and just hoping that the other team's returner will trip over me. That was a classic move.
Well, and the one thing to remember, we are giving up the surprise onside kick. That is the thing that is going away. And I think this is the first rule change that actually removes a strategic element from the game forever. The surprise onside kick doesn't happen very often, and that's kind of how they're shrugging at it. Like, it only happens twice a year. But the potential of it is always there. Even if it doesn't happen very often, the possibility of the lightning strike surprise onside kick is always present, and now that's gone from the game. And I don't really like that, Chris, but
that's the trade-off to having
a new kick return format that's going to have more excitement that way.
Yeah, no, that's one of the things we lose. But I think it's a small price to pay for the keeping a play in and the excitement that it might bring to us this year. So be it. Yeah, it stinks, right? But, I mean, unlike the kick returns and punt returns where I feel like I can name a bunch from NFL history that are exciting, right? With the surprise onside kick, I can only think of one, really, right off the bat, right? I know I could think of more as I sit here and do this. I didn't give it much thought. But, I mean, you know, the Saints-Colts Super Bowl, that's the monumental one. That's the one you think about. I don't know if the Saints win that Super Bowl without doing that play right there. I'm not sure they actually can pull that game off without stealing a possession from Peyton Manning and the Colts like that. But, yeah, we're going to lose that. So be it. I mean, if that's the price we got to pay, we'll take it.
You know what's weird about that? The Colts later took the lead back
in
that game.
Right.
But that was the moment that you felt like maybe the Saints can pull this off.
Yep.
When they got that recovery to start the second half in Miami Super Bowl 44.
Yeah, it felt like the Colts were the better team and the Saints were barely hanging on for a lot of the early part of the football game. It felt like Peyton was on a roll and you just went, man, the Saints, I don't know if they can keep up with this, right? And to your point, you're right, you know, they needed that play. And then, of course, Tracy Porter, the pick six, and all the great moments that followed that.
There was another surprise onside kick in the Super Bowl, and I had it.
Oh, it's the Cowboys Steelers.
As if it
Super
didn't
Bowl
work,
30.
But it did work.
Right.
The Steelers didn't win the game.
Right.
And remember, I'm watching the video now while I talk to you. I'm trying to watch it in my lower peripheral vision.
Okay, I can explain
it to you. The Steelers player, if I recall correctly, there's a chance I don't, he recovered it clean and had like a straight shot to the end zone.
And ran.
But you couldn't advance it.
Right.
It was dead. For the kicking team, it's dead where you catch it.
Yes, total surprise. Super Bowl 30, Arizona. You're right. It was one of those where if they let the play go, he's going to run for a significant amount of yards. Totally caught Dallas off guard. But all right, so there's two. But all right, we gotta do something. Sacrifice
That's
anything.
It.
That's it. So see you later.
I'm looking at it right now. 21 for the Steelers had it. He gained about 20 more yards before they pushed him out of bounds, but the ball went back to the spot of the recovery, and the Steelers ultimately, if you're, you know, a little more than a casual football fan, you realize that the Cowboys won that game thanks to Neil O'Donnell thinking Larry Brown played for the Steelers, or Neil O'Donnell thinking he played for the Cowboys.
I don't know if both of those were Neil's fault, right? That's one thing I've kind of learned through the years of knowing people and involved there, right? I think the first one was Neil's fault. From what I've heard through coaches and people through that, the second one was the wide receiver's fault. He did not adjust and do the right thing, right? But nobody really gives a damn, and Neil O'Donnell looks, you know, silly because of it.
You know what your first NFL coach would say? It's always your fault.
See throws,
It's always your fault.
See throws, man.
I remember that thing he did with Jimmy Clausen when he was – first getting started at ESPN, doing the quarterback school, and Jimmy Clausen tried to throw Golden Tate under the bus for an interception, and Gruden said, it's always your fault. It's never anyone's fault but yours when there's an interception. You have to own it. You have to take it. You can't blame anybody else for it, because basically it's going to piss your teammates off if you try to.
That's right.
Which is a good point.
Yes.
Publicly, you need to take it. Internally, let the coach rip the receiver for being in the wrong spot.
That's right.
All right, you mentioned the word tinker earlier. Roger Goodell, NFL commissioner, as he always does at the end of these quarterly league meetings, press conference to discuss some of the changes. Here he is on Tuesday afternoon talking about the new kickoff formation.
I think it's one of those things when you get it in play, you look at things and you will reevaluate that as the season's going on. And if it's appropriate to make changes in the future, we will. So I think it'll be a big improvement. I think it will bring the play back into, a relevant play, an important play, and an exciting play. And I think we can do it where the injury rate hopefully will drop.
Here's what – see, and it's not the injury rate won't drop. The injury rate in comparison to the way it used to be.
Yeah.
But the injury rate in comparison to what currently exists will increase because there weren't kick returns.
Zero. Right.
So they are welcoming more injuries, but they acknowledge – and again, they won't say this – they are acknowledging at a deeper level this is about the catastrophic injury potential from the high-speed collision. Now, here's what kind of makes me a little uncomfortable but kind of makes me a little excited as somebody who loves some chaos. Just the idea that they acknowledge they're going to have to tinker with it. What that means is there's going to be a flaw. There's going to be an exhaust port in the Death Star that somebody potentially finds during the regular season. There's going to be an equivalent of the tush push that somebody, number one,
right,
spots,
yeah,
and number two, is good enough to exploit, and they're going to have to tinker with the rule. Well, first, what you got to do is rebuild the coalition of at least 24 to keep the rule, and then you're going to have to sell them on a new version of the rule with the tinkering, knowing that whoever benefits from the tinkering is going to say, I don't want the tinkering. I like it the way it is. It helped us get to the playoffs when we otherwise weren't good enough. So they are inviting the potential for mass chaos to descend on the NFL under the very innocuous word of tinker. What tinker? No, you know what? When your engine blows up, you're not tinkering with it. There's a potential, and that's what makes this kind of fun. Let's see what happens next for the NFL, which had to do this, but really didn't think it through and didn't play it out and didn't bump it to May where they could maybe understand a little bit better how and where and why the problems could emerge. No, they're just going to let it go and they'll tinker later. That tinkering may be a lot more than just pulling out the crescent wrench and, you know, giving it a knock and giving it a twist.
Yeah, well, that's why, I mean, that's kind of why I'm pumped to see it. I mean, like we talked about, yeah, the returns, yeah, the creativity. Who can crack the code? Who can find maybe, right, a team that's got the right personnel to make it work the right way, right? You know, are there any rules as far as who can be on the return team's front line there, Mike, as far as anything like that that I'm missing or don't know about, right?
Body type.
Right.
No.
Yeah. So you can do whatever, right? So I mean, hey, I mean, it's one of those things, too, where you go, well, maybe the team that's got a surplus in linebackers, right, kind of guys that are athletic but big and can move in space and, of course, they're big and can move people blocking, right? Is there going to be a personnel group or a team that finds a certain way to tinker with that to go, yeah, this is tough. I mean, we have a smaller athletic offensive line. So we have those kind of guys that are kind of good in these situations. That's what I'm, you know, really excited to see is that, the playing of the personnel, and does somebody come up with, like you're talking about, a tush-push, crack the code, wait, we got, you know, five or six guys that make us a little different in this department than the rest of the league, and, you know, we're dangerous here as far as what we can do because of that. You know, that, again, I think those are some of the unintended cool consequences of this whole thing.
I remember last year when they did the change with the fair catch between the goal line and the 25, giving the receiving team possession at the 25. They were talking about the potential for the XFL kickoff, and a head coach told me this is going to be a disaster if they do it because the best kick returners are going to find a hole and be gone on a regular basis. That this cluster of bodies up close, It's like a loose line of scrimmage. As we were saying earlier, you get a running back with good vision and he's running toward it and he sees where the opening is and he just slips through it and he's gone. You're going to have the best of the best kick returners that are going to make mincemeat of this.
Yes.
Because
yes.
You don't have a second line.
No.
Unless what you do is you immediately retreat.
I think
that's
going to be some of that. Guys
gonna,
fill in and
half
go behind
your guys
it.
Are going to retreat.
Right. I think that's what they're going to have to play with. I think that's what it could be cool. And then where I also think it's going to be a big part of this play, Mike, you know, thinking about it and talking to people a little bit about it over the last month or so, is the ability of your kicker to place the ball in the box area. Right? You give Tyreek Hill the ball in the middle of the hash and he's got a two-way go with people that close to him. Like you said, he's going to find a crease and it's going to be go, go, cheetah legs. I'll see you later. Touchdown. Right? You pin him in a corner and now you can corral him a little bit. He doesn't have the whole field open to going, oh, I got this gap, that gap. Right? So that's where your kicker's ability to be accurate and drop the ball in the right place, I think, is another part that's going to be really big in this whole thing.
And what you could do then, if you can put it in a corner, you can take half the players on that 10-man line at the 40 and swing them around and try to pin the guy that way. But again, it doesn't take much to, if you're a great returner, to slip a crack and off you go. And that brings us to Cordarrelle Patterson, who coincidentally or not.
I mean, I don't think it is.
It wasn't a coincidence.
I don't think it's not a coincidence. Right? Of course
it's not. One of those things I wish I'd thought of. I wish I'd said, hey, Cordero Patterson is out there, and the moment they pass this kickoff, somebody's going to sign this guy. I should have thought of that.
Right.
Because what happened? As soon as they pass it, the Steelers get on the phone, and they sign him to a two-year deal reportedly worth $6 million to be their return specialist. And he's a guy who can do it all offensively. He fell off the map last year with the Falcons because they had Bijan Robinson, Tyler Algier. He wasn't returning kicks last year because there were no kicks to return. This is a guy with an NFL record, 9 kick returns for a touchdown in his career. Yes, he's 33, but he can still get it done. We've seen it throughout the years with a variety of teams. He's been with the Vikings, the Raiders, the Patriots, the Bears, and most recently the Falcons. Now he's going to be Pittsburgh Steeler. Another example, you know, Jerry Jones talks about going all in. Pittsburgh Steelers going all in. And this is going to be a pivotal part of the game now. And the first move the Steelers do right out of the gates is they go out and they get themselves one of the best return specialists who's ever lived.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like they were just kind of waiting in the weeds for this. Get a feel, is this going to get passed? If it definitely is, hey, Arthur Smith, you know, you used to coach Cordero Patterson. You think he'd like be good for us? Oh, yeah, he would. Okay, he's going to be great for the kick return. Let's sign him up. I mean, yeah, he's physical, he's fast, there's no nonsense in his game. He's the perfect guy, what you're talking about there. It finds one crack or one seam, and it's going to be watch out. So, yeah, I think we'll see teams start to think about this, like you alluded to yesterday, of, wait, this is a chance to really make a difference in the game and change the game. And we could, to like what you said a few minutes ago, we could have Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen and start the ball and start at the 40 or 45 every time. I mean, it's like one completion. We're in field goal range, guys. Great job. Great drive. We're putting points on the board. I mean, this is where, yeah, I think you're going to see teams really start to think about who they want back there and who they might want to sign on their roster just for this specific play.
And look at it this way. If you don't have Patrick Mahomes or Josh Allen, but you do have a great returner, this is a way. If the Chiefs and the Bills don't have a great return game ready to go, this is a way that you can balance it out a little bit, because their drives are starting at the 25, 28, 30. Your drives are starting at the 35, 38, 40. That's a key distinction. One thing about the onside kick, too, because my cousin asked about it generally. Obviously, the surprise onside kick is gone. The old kick formation will be utilized for onside kicks in the fourth quarter. You can do it twice. You have to be trailing twice per game. That's it. But it's not like all of a sudden those things are going to be recovered on a regular basis. They're just not. It is a thin and flimsy opportunity for a team that is trailing to try to retain possession because of what they've done with the onside kick and the kick formation in recent years to make those collisions. Because those are closed space collisions, but those are ridiculously violent. I remember Chris Collinsworth from time to time complaining about how difficult that play was when he was playing. The impacts that you're talking about.
You're watching the ball and guys are running at you full speed.
And they're trying to hit you as hard as they can to get the ball to pop out if you do get your hands on it. So it's a brutal play. It always has been. It stays in the game twice per game if you're trailing in the fourth quarter under the
old alignment. And where does it go? Explain that to everybody, right? They're not going to kick. So they're going to move the lines back to where the kickoff is at?
You go back
to the old
way? You go back
way,
to the 35.
Right? Okay.
Yeah, you go back
I just
to
want
the
to
35.
Make that clear. I didn't know that either. Yeah. I didn't read that part, so I'm not even sure if I realized that.
Well, and I need to go ahead, and I'm having that moment of, boy, I think I know, but I'm not sure. I hope this is right. I'll just do the Colin Coward and act like it is right, even if it's 180 degrees wrong. Oh, I'm sorry, Colin Coward catching a stray here today. I'm not going to sit here and act like I know with 100% certainty. It's what I think.
Right.
Based upon
what
the fact that there hasn't been, oh no, the onside kick is dramatically different. Oh no, this is, it's just been onside kick is available for the team that's trailing twice per game, fourth quarter. That's what they're going to do, and it's going to be what it's always been, or at least what it's been in recent years, which is something that doesn't work very often when it is a deliberate onside kick because it's hard to make the recovery because of the way they've positioned the bodies. And you can't have those high-impact collisions in a closed space like we've seen in the past. I still kind of like the 4th. I know you don't like the 4th and 20. I kind of like the 4th and 20 If we're going to embrace chaos with this revolutionary kickoff return, I kind of like the 4th and 20. The Eagles proposed it again this year, and it died again. I kind of like it. And maybe in future years, the tinkering will involve that.
Maybe. I haven't come around to that aspect yet, so I'm not ready to do that yet. I'm not. But at the very least, I'll take the victory of at least we got kick returns again. I mean, we were going to have a memorial draft, right, of, like, best kick returners.
We may do it later.
I know.
We may do it later, so we don't have to do it now.
Who was your favorite?
Don't start rattling off names.
Fine. I was going to say, you know, but okay.
We may do it later.
Okay, fine. I got you. Okay.
I want to say one last thing on the way out.
Say one last thing.
Okay. One last thing. This whole thing started with 4th and 20. In the Roger Goodell profile from Time Magazine in 2012, the Enforcer cover, if you remember that, he kind of blurts out during the interview process that Greg Schiano, then the Buccaneers coach, first-year Bucs coach, had been with Rutgers. Eric LeGrand suffered the serious catastrophic neck injury. And Goodell floated the idea of the 4th and long play as the full and complete substitute for the kickoff, not just for onside. And I did not believe that was deliberate or spontaneous or accidental. He was putting it out there so people could hear it, react to it, and think about it. And I've always been fascinated by that. And that retains the element of surprise. I still wish they would do that where you just get the ball. It's 4th and 15 or 4th and 20. You punt it like you would if you're kicking it off. You can go for it like you would if you were facing 4th and 15 in a key moment in a game. You can do a fake punt, which is the equivalent of the surprise onside kick. You can do the Ben Roethlisberger, Randall Cunningham pooch punt where you look like you're going for it, and you just kick it over their heads. So I always thought that would be great, but it still has the potential for the higher speed, not the full-blown kicking team high-speed collision, but it's got that punt collision in it, and I think that's why they shied away from it. But that 4th and 20, it's like the Eagles propose it every single year.
Because they got kick. Two guys that are freaks on the outside that they can just throw jump balls to all the time that catch the ball like 80% of the time? I'd be in favor of the rule too. You know, that's to me the problem with it. It's just you're going to have that. What about the team that's not built through the quarterback and has two awesome receivers? That's where, you know, the team that's built through defense, right? You know, that's where it's not going to be fair. The 2000 Ravens, those type of teams where you're going to go, well, okay, but now we're making a specific part of the game really benefit one team. And what they have?
Oh,
on
you mean
their
like
roster.
The kick return?
Well,
you mean like the kick return?
Well, you know, again,
that's what
there's. Well, it's not to the same capacity. There's only a few like special quarterbacks and things like that they can go around. You know, kick returners. Yeah, I don't think it's quite as drastic that way. And I don't think there's. You know, I think that's a little bit more of an even conversation process, whatever, as compared to wait, I have Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes. Oh, you have Gardner Minshew and who at receiver? We like our chances on 4th and 20. Right.
You know, here's the message, and this I think is one of the reasons why we talked about this yesterday. They wanted to get it done now. The draft boards are going to be reconfigured because if you're a great kick returner, you are more valuable now. And if you're one of these mid-sized body linebackers or smallish offensive linemen who can move, you become more attractive to play on the kick coverage team. That's going to get all reevaluated over the next 4 weeks in advance of the draft. And also, Kirby Smart, the Georgia coach, said yesterday that this new kickoff thing may go to college football. If I'm the NFL, I want it to because I want to be able to scout the people who can do this play. I don't want them just coming to the NFL and for the first time, this is the kick return they have to do, and I have to project who can do this return based upon who did the other return, do our return, and then we can figure out who the best of the best coverage and return players are, and we'll draft them accordingly.
Yeah, no, I think that it all makes sense, and yeah, you'd like the game to, you know, be the same for everybody at all levels for a lot of different reasons, so I wouldn't be surprised. And, yeah, I mean, again, it's about safety. That's the biggest thing. And I would think college football looks at that pretty seriously.
Yeah. Good luck having a high school kicker who can consistently place the ball in the landing zone. That's where it's going to become a little a little difficult.
Yeah, they might have to tinker
to
with
the
it there. Right.
They might have to not have a 20. They may need a 30 or a 40-yard landing zone in high school football if that happens. All right, let's go ahead and take a break. When we return, what a friggin' surprise. Ho, 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 NBA. Here comes the NFL, even when Christmas is on a Wednesday. We knew this was coming from the get-go. We're going to talk about it next here on PFT Live.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
With the Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card, you can earn unlimited 2% cash rewards on purchases you want and purchases you need. That means you earn on what you want, like trying out that new workout class, and 2% cash rewards on what you need, like a foam roller for your sore muscles. That's the beauty of the Active Cash Credit Card. It's ready when you are, with unlimited 2% cash rewards. The Wells Fargo Active Cash Credit Card. That's real life ready. Terms apply. Learn more at wellsfargo.com/activecash.